This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome into the program. It is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line. Just 1 hour with you tonight because we've got City Spotlight coming up just after the 7 o'clock news. Jen Cease will be in here to talk all things St. Louis City soccer. But I've got you for up until 7 o'clock, and we'll talk mostly Cardinals baseball. As always, if you want to chime in on anything we're talking about, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, or you can leave a voice message via the Odyssey app. Cardinals baseball today. They end up losing to the Mets by a 2-0 score. And a few thoughts on this game, because we're at the point now, tomorrow marks 2 weeks out from the regular season starting. And it's going to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth with what I'm about to say, and I'm really not, but there's got to be some kind of like discernment in all of this thing. We're getting to the point where some of the numbers and some of the performances actually do matter, where you don't dismiss them out of hand. But at the same time, it's spring training, and there's no guarantee that any of it is actually going to matter. So there's a lot of people who are concerned about the Cardinals' team batting average here in spring so far. And to be fair, it's not good. They are in spring training this year, they are hitting .203. Not only is that the worst in all of Major League Baseball, not just the Grapefruit League, but the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League, it's the worst by a significant margin. The team that has the second worst team batting average is actually the team that beat them today, the New York Mets, and the Mets have a .223 average. So the second worst team batting average in spring is 20 points better than the Cardinals. So the offense has not been good. Now, has there been spurts where it's looked okay? Yeah. The like 7-game stretch leading up to like 3 games ago, but the game before they got, the last time they got shut out by the Mets, they put up good numbers. They were averaging about 5 runs a game. Their OPS was close to 800 as a team, if I remember correctly. So there were some good things going. And look, it's not all the numbers are bad, but a bunch of the numbers are bad. And I use OPS all the time. So if we're being fair about it, while the Cardinals are not last in OPS across baseball, they're second to last. They and the Mets switch spots in that. So the Cardinals have the second to last OPS. Now, you do have to go a little bit deeper on this and A, look at players and their more recent performances, but also go deeper than that and look at the quality of at-bats that are taking place, whether or not it's resulting in production. But even if you do that, that doesn't fix the issue, right? Like that does not, you can have this small sample size thing. You can have an unlucky game here and an unlucky game there. At some point in time, I think everybody would be much more comfortable with the Cardinals having a little bit more sustained success offensively. And I think we're more triggered right now coming off a season where they were really bad offensively. I think that's fair, right? Last year, they had a terrible offensive season. Now, something about last year's terrible offensive season is it has clouded people's recollection of who they were offensively in previous years. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they were a good offensive team last year. They were not. But 2 years ago, there's a lot of people out there, you may be out there, just remember that as being a horrible offensive season. And that was a year where they had a horrible record. Offensively, they were like middle of the pack. From a run scoring standpoint, from a most offensive category standpoint, they were middle of the pack. You go back the year before that was the Albert Pujols year. I think they were fifth in Major League Baseball in runs scored that year. So this is not like this long period of this club not being good offensively. Last year was their first legitimately well below average offensive season in quite some time. But just because that's the only one, just because they're a little bit better offensively than what you remember in the years leading up to that, that doesn't change the fact that they are coming off a season where they weren't good offensively. And now with 2 weeks to go here in spring training, in many ways, they continue to look like they are struggling. Now, there are teams that struggle in spring, and then the regular season starts, and they just flip a switch, and they're fine. And if the Cardinals are coming off a year where they were a pretty good offensive club, I'd probably sit here and say, you know what, there's a good chance of that happening. It's just you kind of get clouded by the fact that they did not have a very good offensive season last year. You know, the San Diego Padres, they're coming off a pretty good season last year. The Padres are last in all of Major League Baseball in runs scored. They have 69 runs scored with a .233 batting average. But the Padres have scored the least amount of runs of any team in Major League Baseball here in spring. Padres are coming off a pretty respectable season last year. I would guess the people in San Diego are not freaking out too much. Maybe they are, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm guessing they're not freaking out too much about the fact they've only scored 69 runs in spring. The Atlanta Braves, they are second to worst in all of Major League Baseball in runs scored here in spring. They've scored 75 runs so far. We all know that the Atlanta Braves are a really, really good team with a really good offense, and they're going to score a bunch of runs. So I would bet that the people in Atlanta are not freaking out about the fact that they've only scored 75 runs here in spring. Like, to put that in perspective, the Cardinals are better than both those teams. The Cardinals have scored 77 runs here during spring. Not a lot better than those teams, but a little bit better than those teams just because of the seasons they're coming off of. I think when you're paying attention to the Cardinals, again, you're probably a little bit more triggered about what they're doing offensively than, say, folks in Atlanta and San Diego and New York with the Mets, simply because of who they were last year and the expectations that go along with the season coming up. We will take a break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Bernie Miklas. Our weekly conversation with him in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's one of our favorite segments that we do every week. You see him on his YouTube channel, at The Bernie Show. If you're not a subscriber to his YouTube channel, I don't know what's going on with you. You need to go ahead and fix that right away, because Bernie Miklas does videos every day doing deep dives on a single topic. And, of course, he's part of the gang, literally, with the Gas House Gang, which airs 12 noon on all the KMOX social media channels and then replays most nights at 8 o'clock here on at KMOX. With that being said, we do welcome Bernie Miklas onto Sports Open Line. Bernie, always great to talk to you. How are you tonight?
Good to be with you, Matt, and thanks for having me as usual.
Yeah, it's good to be able to talk with you. Today, Miles Michaelis looked good. Does that mean anything to you at all?
Oh, I don't know. I generally, especially with pitchers that are established and you know, we know they have a rotation spot no matter what. You know, Sonny Gray's a good example. You know, some of the other guys, Fetty, certainly Miles Michaelis. I never judge them based on stats. I mean, yeah, you like to see them throw well, but I've been doing this for such a long time, and you find out that certain pitchers are working on different things. They're trying out new pitches. They're trying to reshape a pitch, this or that, this or that. So you never know what a guy is actually working on. You know, they'll go into a game with a really specific thing in mind. Now, that said, you know, Miles Michaelis has had a rough couple of years. He's like third worst ERA over the last 2 years among qualifying starters. But he's going to be in the rotation, and my attitude is this. You know, nothing's going to change that. So, yeah, I prefer to see him pitch well, yeah. You know, and so I don't know whether this means that he'll pitch well, but he's had a pretty good camp so far.
Your friend of mine, Kevin Wheeler, texted this to me today. So this comes from him, not from me, but it's worth noting. Michaelis had a 2.14 ERA last spring, had a 0 ERA in 2023, and you just mentioned the third worst ERA over the last two seasons. So he has historically had very good spring numbers and has not followed that up with good numbers in the regular season.
I'm not surprised Wheels is all over that. It's just like the Cardinals in general, and I know that fans are getting restless because the offense is really bad. I mean, I get it. I'm not going to, like, you know, blast any fans for being concerned. There's some really ugly stats there in that lineup. But I also remember, as you do, and, you know, I think a lot of media people do, probably some fans do too. You know, in 2023, the Cardinals won the Grapefruit League championship. They had a 17-7 record. Where did that get them in the regular season?
Not very. I remember walking out of Jupiter that year going, man, this team's going to be really good this year. And I couldn't have been more wrong.
I know. Well, that's why spring can really almost leave you confused. I mean, you think one way about a team and then they do the other. And I've seen examples of that in Cardinals spring training, you know, a lot. And I was looking at their offensive stats in spring training, you know, shutout again today. And obviously their offensive stats, I mean, they're 30th in batting average, 30th in slugging percentage, 29th in OPS, you know, on and on and on. But I also look at who's down there towards the bottom with them in terms of all the major league teams in spring training. You got Atlanta down near the bottom, Houston, San Diego, the New York Mets. I think those teams are going to score runs, right?
Yeah.
So I really think this is – I don't know if I can explain this well. Like, I really think that when people look at spring training stats, I think they look at it through the lens of their own bias, mm-hmm. whatever bias they bring into it. You know, if in other words, if you really dislike, you know, Miles Michaelis, then it's like, well, I don't care what he does in spring training. And but if you want someone to make the team and that guy's pitching really well, then it's like, look, he shows that he belongs. You know, I get it. I get it. I mean, that's just kind of human nature. I don't find fault with anyone for that. But it's very, very tricky. Mm-hmm. That said, Mr. Pauly, I don't know about you. Yeah, I'd kind of like the Cardinals get some offense going because I think it would actually maybe make the fans feel a little better. So
yeah, I'm on the border of like, okay, it's at a point now where I don't care what the overall team numbers are, but let me, and they were for a while, up until three games ago, like the six or seven games leading to that, they had, you know, like an 800, 750 or 800 OPS. They were scoring five runs a game. Like they were doing things offensively, but then these last three games have just not been good. They've been shut out twice in that period. And you mentioned the overall numbers. I'm kind of getting to that point where I just would feel better if I saw a little bit more offensive consistency. And I hate, Bernie, I hate that those words are coming out of my mouth because I'm always the first one to dismiss spring training stats.
No, that's right. And I think it comes down to this. There is some middle ground. I mean, the guys are going to be relying on, for example, you know, yeah, you want to see them go into the regular season feeling good about what they've been working on and feeling good about their swing and all that stuff. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to see him do better. I think the problems that people have is like making too much of it or also maybe overreacting to positive stats as well. You know, like Prieto, looking at his numbers today, he's had a really good spring. Is he going to make the team? No. And it doesn't mean he should make the team. But can I ask you a question? I like to do this when I'm on with you. I'd like to ask you one. So you, of all the guys that are doing well, when we're talking about numbers in spring training, I mean, has Scott locked up center field? Has Baker locked up a spot on the roster? Does Kaepernick have a chance? He's had a great spring. Does he have a chance to maybe pull an upset and be on that roster? And I could go, that. Those are the primary guys I'm thinking about.
So I think Luke and Baker has locked up a spot on the roster. I think Victor Scott II has put himself firmly in the lead for center field. By the way, it's kind of fun to look at his numbers. Last year in spring, he hit 317. This year in spring, he's hitting 320. But last year, he had a 770 OPS. This year, he has an OPS above 1,000. Completely, this is where batting average doesn't tell the story because a completely different guy with basically the exact same batting average. I don't think Kaepernick makes the team if for no other reason, Bernie, he's a lefty and that's the last thing they need.
No, that's right. Because if you look at it, if we talk about people technically in competition, I mean, you got six left-handed bats in the outfield, and then you have Jordan Walker, and it's tough. That's tough to, you know, have that many. Well, let me tell you this way, you know, if all the left-handed bats in the outfield are hitting really well, there's no problem there, but it's kind of hard to have that imbalance. I don't think it helps you overall, especially if two or three of the guys aren't hitting all that well.
I also think Jose Barrero is in this position to be the backup shortstop.
Yeah, and I forgot to ask you about him. What's the thing that has impressed you the most when the time that you were down there, and I know you've been talking to people when you were down there and even since you got back, what impresses you the most?
From a team standpoint, I'd love to be able to go back to how I felt after other spring trainings to compare my thoughts because I'm a prisoner of the moment, but just how much like actual true extra work I saw guys putting in, that was the thing that made the largest impact on me during my month there.
You know, there's something to be said about a guy who was a heralded prospect and who was the number one prospect of a division rival, you know, the Cincinnati Reds, and he was very acclaimed and people were predicting great things. And there's no doubt that he's got the athleticism, he's got the arm, he's fast. Sometimes those guys wash out, you know, their first time through. And I'm not implying that Jose Barrero was somehow lacking, you know, hunger. But I think that kind of failure, you learn a lot about yourself. And if you still have ability, you find a way to become a better hitter. And I know in his case, from what I understand, and you can elaborate on it, he's a better hitter now. He learned from his failure because he's not trying to hit everything out of the park now.
Yeah, that's right. He's done a lot of work with Brent Brown. And you're a talented guy if you've got that prospect status coming up. You just got to tap back into it. So I think you're right. Bernie, we always appreciate you taking a few moments with us here on Sports Open Line. But before you get out of here, of course, our conversation being brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And we'd love for you to talk a little bit about your friends there at Saliga.
Yeah, you got it, Matt. Saliga Heating and Cooling's been taking care of St. Louis since 1927. We're one of them. The last 16 years or so, the Mikluses, and the same family. The Saligas have owned this through four generations. Dan Saliga is now the owner, operator of the family business. They're an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. And listen, in my experience, I can just testify to what I know for sure, having been, you know, calling them for help for 16 years. The integrity is 100%. They don't try to hustle you, talk you into something. They're not trying to upsell. In our experience and experience of some of our neighbors, Saliga Heating and Cooling does the opposite of that. They look for ways to save you money. They could sell you something expensive. They say, no. This, we recommend you doing this. It'll save you money because you don't have to buy the big piece of equipment yet. You're good to go for a couple years. They do stuff like that. And that's, man, that's invaluable when you're trying to figure out who do I call for heating and cooling services. In addition to repairs and that installing that new American Standard equipment, they do commercial work. They do residential work. They also have the Priority Club. And what I would recommend is you just go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com to look at the details, because it's a maintenance program that is a win-win-win proposition. And that's, again, I back that up with our own experience, because if you have regular maintenance on your equipment, you have the peace of mind of knowing everything's safe and working great. And also you'll save money in the long term, because maintenance extends the lifetime of your equipment. So anyway, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com to find out more. Thank you.
It's a Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are just going for an hour tonight. We're going to be done at 7 o'clock. We'll make way for Jen Cease in the City Spotlight, doing all soccer leading into, coming off City's best performance of the year, a 3-0 win this past weekend against LA Galaxy, and they're back at this weekend. Of course, you can hear all City games on our sister station, Y98. We are your home for St. Louis Cardinals baseball, talking mostly Cardinals here on Sports Open Line, and it's time for our daily fun with audio. Let's go through some of the things that were said by Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol today. You know, there continues to be a lot of focus on the catching competition. And if you were listening to Ollie and what he said yesterday that we played back here on Sports Open Line, he kind of said that he doesn't really view the battle between Ivan Herrera and Pedro Páez as really a battle for who's going to be the number one catcher, that it's really a catching tandem, and they're just going to kind of go forward through the season. It's kind of hard to explain the way he said it, so you can always go back and listen for yourself on the Sports Open Line podcast. But some discussion specifically about Pedro Páez today, because it feels like there's so much focus on Ivan Herrera because of who he can be from an offensive standpoint, and rightfully so. I mean, this guy can be a difference-making middle-of-the-order bat, and for a team that last year struggled offensively, the idea of having Ivan Herrera in there more often than not is appealing when it comes to run scoring. Pedro Páez was fantastic defensively last year, has the absolute trust of pitchers. Not that Ivan Herrera does not, but just speaking on Páez's strengths. And as Oliver Marmol talked a little bit about him today, he said that, you know, Páez really continues to excel in many areas.
What you would expect. We know what he brings to the table, and he continues to demonstrate exactly that. He's very consistent with how he receives, prepares for each pitcher, and gains their trust. So exactly what we would hope he looked like at this point.
Páez is really, dude, such a hard worker, has put in so much work, and that work impacts who he is on the field. I think it also impacts who he is in the clubhouse and just the respect for the preparation and everything that he puts in every day. And Marmol specifically spoke to that and just how Páez has put himself in this position largely because of the work that he has been able to put in.
If you take a step back and just look at the clubhouse, like, guys gravitate towards this guy because he adds value, right? Like, it's when you're Páez and you slide into that spot, you have to be extremely prepared to get buy-in as quickly as he's gotten. So credit to him. He's done exactly that. He's continuing to work with Brownie on the offensive side of things. I actually like where he's at offensively and the types of swings he's taking, the approach he's bringing in every day. So, yeah, it's been good.
Now, we think so much about Páez as the defense first catcher and Herrera as the offense first catcher. And obviously, Herrera, from an offensive profile standpoint, I mean, this guy's a guy who can provide damage in the middle of the order. I'm not trying to dismiss at all who Herrera is from an offensive standpoint, but maybe projecting what Páez can be from an offensive standpoint. In fact, he's hitting the ball very hard this spring. That's been one of the most notable things about his spring is just how hard he's hitting the ball. Maybe the overall numbers are not quite where they want where you want them to be, but Marmol said that Páez has looked good this year, not just in his defense, but offensively as well.
I think it's better than people think, and it's improving. He's made some changes mechanically that I think will lend itself to more consistency. But I like his approach and how he game plans for pitchers offensively as well.
Yeah.
And Herrera on the other side, sure, there's a deficiency in arm strength, but receiving is very important, and he does that at a really damn good level. A
few other individuals to talk about real quick as we continue to listen in to what Oliver Marmol had to say today. Lucan Baker. I think he's going to make the team, and I think he's going to have a pretty good season. I think he's going to be a dangerous weapon, especially off the bench in most of the games that he does not start. When you look at the underlying numbers, Baker's swing, his speed on his swing is vastly improved. And Marmol said not just that, but really Baker's improved in a good number of areas.
He'll tell you that he's also kind of feels like he's seeing it better, and that combination of adding bat speed, hitting for power, controlling the strike zone, I feel good about a right on right, left on right at bat. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, I feel comfortable with Baker taking it at bat. He's made some really good strides. He's proven what he's capable of doing in a AAA setting. Each time with us, he showed the ability to slow the game down a little bit more. So it's been a good camp for him.
We talk about Baker's bat speed. How about Arenado's bat speed? It also looks considerably quicker this year as compared to last year. And while it's still a bit of a work in progress, Marmol said that Arenado's swing is in a pretty good spot.
And he feels better about it. If you look at, like, he's clearing the inner half a little better. There's certain things he's working on right now that I think he'll tighten up as we get further into camp. But I like where he's at physically. Just he's come in ready to go.
And the final thing about an individual, we saw J.J. Weatherholt get sent out to minor league camp. He was impressive, and it got to a point where it was pretty clear that, you know, he still got some work to do to be a big leaguer, but I think he was impressive in what he was able to do. Hit the first home run of any Cardinal in spring this year, so he might not have been the name that you thought was going to be that, but now he gets the chance to go to minor league camp and do the things that he needs to do to continue to develop. But it's clear Marmol was very impressed with what he saw from one of the top prospects in the organization, J.J. Weatherholt.
Great. I mean, what a stud. I think JJ is going to play for a very long time. I love his actions. I love the way he carries himself, the way he does just about everything, man. His mentality, his approach at the plate, how he receives feedback, his ability to retain information, apply it the next day. It's just a lot of qualities that lead to, you couple that with his skill set, and you've got a guy that plays in the big leagues for a long time.
From a big picture perspective, so I thought a couple of these things were interesting. You know, we talk about this team being so young, but we also talk about the experience that this team has. There's a lot of young guys who have spent a lot of time in the big leagues. This is not about a bunch of young guys who are trying to establish themselves as big leaguers. And that's an important part of what this team is. It's youthful, but it's not without experience.
We do have a bunch of young dudes, but they're not reaching to be big leaguers. Like, they've been up here, they've shown flashes of what they're capable of doing. Now it's a matter of creating an environment where they can be more consistent with that. So you look at the Newbars and Gormans, and you go down the list of Herrera, Páez, and Burleson, and Donnies, and I mean, yeah, they're young guys, but they've shown what they're capable of. So now being consistent with that is going to be the key. Jordan Walker showing consistency is going to be key. And if they take steps in the right direction, it can be a lot of fun.
And of course, so much focus this offseason on the runway that's being given to younger players. And this is where this is going to be a storyline all year long. And this is something that I'm going to be tracking because I think it's going to be so compelling to watch this play out. The idea of trying to win, but the idea of also trying to find out things about guys and truly give opportunities to some younger players almost no matter the results. And Marmol's very open about the fact that even with a goal to win this year, there are other goals this season as well.
you understand organizationally where we're at and what we're trying to do, because there are certain goals that have to be met when it comes to giving guys a decent runway, regardless of how it's looking. I mean, the one thing we can't do at the end of this year is still have question marks on certain guys. You want to make sure you get to the offseason and have full clarity as to what certain guys are capable or not capable of doing. And that comes with longer runways that sometimes in St. Louis, in a win now mentality, you wouldn't see. So no, you do have to acknowledge it. And there's certain parts that will look a little different. A
couple things specifically about the game today. Cardinals lose to the Mets by a 2-0 score. They only collect two hits, so just not a good offensive day. They're hitting just .203 as a team. They had a little spurt there where they looked better offensively, but they've had a couple not-so-great performances here of late from an offensive standpoint. But from a pitching standpoint, let's start with Miles Michaelis. He was really, really good. Five innings, one run, five hits, three strikeouts, one walk. So he's on schedule to probably go six innings next time out, and that puts him right where you want him to be leading into the regular season. But Marmol was clearly happy with what he saw today from Miles.
Ball's coming out really well today, especially against that lineup. Did a really nice job. It's not an easy one to navigate, and lived on the ground. Two strikes, but also threw some for Chase, but just mixed really well today. So fun to watch for sure.
And then Chicoa Roby, who has been sent to minor league camp, so he is not going to break camp with the team, but we'll probably see him at the big leagues at some point this year. Chicoa Roby had what we can assume to be his final appearance in a big league spring training, although my guys in the minors get brought up all the time, so maybe something happens. But anyways, he'll go to minor league camp now. But Roby goes two innings today, four strikeouts, no walks, and it finishes off what's been a very impressive big league camp for Chicoa Roby.
Really good is an understatement. It's looked phenomenal. I like a lot of things about Roby. I think we all get excited about how the ball comes out of that hand, but his mentality and overall approach and the way he carries himself is pretty top-notch. I'm excited about his rise to the big leagues.
That is Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol as we have a little bit of fun with audio today. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it one final time tonight on a Graybar Sports Open Line. We are done an hour early because we've got City Spotlight coming up in just a few moments. Jen Cease is going to be with you talking all things City SC soccer, coming off their best performance of the year when they knocked off the LA Galaxy this past weekend on a Sunday Night Soccer by a 3-0 score. Do want to remind you about the KMOX First Pitch Breakfast that's going to be going on Thursday, March 27th. That is 2 weeks from tomorrow. That is opening day. This is such a cool thing that's going to be happening. An unfiltered conversation with Vince Coleman. And it is going to be moderated by our sports director here at KMOX, Tom Ackerman. And this is going to be something that's going to go on for a few hours. So the event goes from 8 to 10:30. Tables are still available. You get a delicious breakfast buffet. The menu is available. KMOX.com/events. You can see the full menu. It is awesome. And the full buffet will be out for 2 hours from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Not only do you get the food, you get bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys, a complimentary Budweiser draft beer, and you get a glass stein commemorating the event. It's really cool. It is the perfect way to start your opening day. First thing in the morning, 8 a.m., listen to Vince Coleman and Tom Ackerman talk, eat yourself a breakfast, have a mimosa, have a Bloody Mary, and then eventually have yourself a beer, and then start to get into the rest of the opening day festivities, whatever. Maybe that's kegs and eggs. Maybe it's something else. But this is the way to get things started, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. All the details are available. KMOX.com/events. KMOX.com/events. You can see the KMOX First Pitch Breakfast, and it's presented by Budweiser, and it's going to be a really, really cool thing. Tickets are still available. You can get tables, so just check that out for yourself. That's going to do it for this hour of Sports Open Line, and really just Sports Open Line in period today, because we're done for Jen Cease and City Spotlight. That's on the way next. Tomorrow, myself and Mike Claiborne will be with you for the Countdown to Opening Day show. We'll talk to you then, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, right here on KMOX. We'll be right back.